"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Mo Kelly in for John and Ken, and you probably have been listening to the news. Mark Ronner touched upon it. Police are looking for a group of men caught on video breaking into a marijuana dispensary in L.A. yesterday morning. Police said the burglary took place around 12:30 in the morning. The suspects hopped over the fence from the alley behind the shop and were prepared with some sort of tool they used to break into the rear door. KFI's own Blake Trolley is on it, and he joins me right now. Blake, good afternoon. What is the latest, sir?
Yeah, well, at this point in time, owner Toby Reed says he thinks at least $1 million of product has been stolen. And Mo, when I asked him, I said, is that $1 million of market value or cost to you? He explained to me that's cost to him, $1 million worth of weed. As you say, they actually used crowbars yesterday to try to break through that back door. And as Reed describes to me, these guys were not going to back down.
And yeah, they just spent about 8 minutes on the door, two guys with crowbars just prying open the door. And it seemed like they were going to get in or get busted. They didn't care. They weren't leaving until they got in. That was obvious because the cameras, they were getting spoke down to on speaker, and there was sirens that had been activated and alarms exterior before they even got in. They were being spoken to by the analytics company, Cyber Optics.
And they just continued. They finally broke that door open. Reed says once the thieves got inside, they beelined it for the room where he keeps his big stash. And that's another sign. And I should put this out there. Reed's been pretty forthcoming with me that he thinks this may have been an inside job, may have been organized. And he says one of those signs is just the way these guys operated once inside his store.
Seemed very organized, and it seemed like they were like being instructed almost like in real time. It looked like if you analyze the video, you can see at least one guy FaceTiming with someone who's kind of directing them around because they're running around on the camera and trying to, they're passing up some pretty valuable items, trying to make their way around something it seemed they were being told.
So when he says valuable items there, I had him elaborate on that. What he's saying is weed. He's saying there were other bags of weed that were still very valuable, but these guys were just passing right by those bags. And he said that makes him assume they were looking for his inventory room. That's where he keeps his big stash. That's where they'd be able to get in, grab a bunch of weed, and get going. And that's what they did. They finally made it into his inventory room. They took a bunch of weed, loaded it up into bags. One guy had a duffel bag. They threw it into the back of two different cars. He says the trunks of those cars, they couldn't even close them. They had so much weed in the back of these cars, they just took off. with the trunks inside. Now, as for his suspicions, he told me he did tell somebody he thought he could trust about a big shipment coming down from Northern California. He said he did that about 10 days ago. This was a person, again, he thought he could trust, someone he says would help out with the dispensary. So it'll be interesting to see if this plays out as an inside job. I called the LAPD. They say so far no arrests have been made. But Mo, as Reed explains to me, he's already facing challenges. He hopes insurance and, you know, between insurance and his suppliers, he can come back from this. But he told me he's already facing challenges. As you know, and we made a whole documentary about this, weed in the weed industry in California is not as lucrative as people might think. He documented some of the issues he's going through right now.
Oh, absolutely. This is probably my most challenging period in my career right now because of the seemingly coordinated effort to crush, you know, guys like me. Small family operated mom and pop businesses in this industry are suffering because there's, you know, multi-thousand acre grows. Grows that are hundreds of acres, big money, greenhouses harvesting it and putting the weed out there for dirt cheap.
How about the illegal?
No, and the legal licensed grows probably putting it out onto the black market too. For all I know, there's just big grows out there. I see weed on my coming in for for prices that are just hard to deal with. Yeah.
So there you have it. He says, you know, he can't compete with those bigger grow ops that can supply it at a much lower price. And what he described to me is, yeah, these big grows can pull this off for a much bigger, much lower price than when he gets it for. And Mo, you know, I made a documentary about this last year. And when we spoke to weed shops here in L.A., the legitimate ones, they say they're already going through a lot of issues. And one of the big issues is that a lot of the dispensaries in L.A. aren't even legal. They're not licensed and they're not under any of the regulations, so they're able to sell it at a lower price. And when I talked to Reed about that, he says there's one close by that he's, you know, working to compete with. So real tough situation for this guy.
Blake, in your discussions with Reed, did he mention, because I'm reading published reports where this specific dispensary had been robbed in recent years a number of times, did he make any mention of that or make any connection to those robberies?
He didn't make any connection to those robberies. Again, he seemed pretty convinced that this is an inside job. And yeah, as you say, this dispensary has been targeted, and he explained to me that comes with the territory. That said, he hasn't been hit at this level before. And when you walk into a store, it's very obvious that they've dealt with this, right? You go to a store, there's actually a security guard before you even get into the shop itself. This can speak to how big of an issue it's been in the past with these recent burglaries. When you go into his store, there's actually a security guard behind glass. People show their ID to that security guard. Then she buzzes them. It's almost like a security vault. She buzzes them through a gate. And then once you're through the gate, then it looks like a standard dispensary. And I asked the security guard about it, and she laughed. She said, yeah, this is totally an issue here, and that's why we're set up this way.
I'm just going to ask this, and maybe this wasn't divulged to you. We have seen video of the break-in, but I'm inclined to believe that there's other video available either from inside the dispensary or from the surrounding buildings. Did Reed give you any other indication that there was other evidence of a video kind that was available to them?
No, in fact, he made it sound like he released what he had. So I think, you know, as far as what he has, I think he did release that, you know, release it to the media and released it to the police. But again, Mo, you know, I think the one thing to watch with this one is that this, you know, and it wasn't just him. Some of his other employees told me as well. They're suspecting this was an inside job. And some of them are actually joked with me that it's almost like a game of Clue now, trying to figure out who maybe started this. But, he describes the way that they were navigating through his floor plan based on this video tells him they knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, to me, there are a finite number of individuals who would have any history with the dispensary, who would know the layout and the floor plan, and it would just seem like a matter of time before they would be able to drill down on the individual or individuals who would be responsible for this, but we'll have to wait and find out. Blake Trolley, great job. Thank you for doing that, and we'll be continuing to watch this story.
All right, thanks, Mo.
This is the John and Ken Show. Mo Kelly in for John and Ken. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Mo Kelly in for John and Ken. You could always hit me on social media at Mr. Mo Kelly, MrMokelly on Twitter and Instagram, TikTok, Clubhouse, all the same. And I got to remind you, it's not too late. KFI is giving you a chance to win a two-night stay at Southern California's premier oceanfront destination. I'm talking about Terranea Resort, breathtakingly situated on 102 acres atop the Palos Verdes Peninsula with endless views of the Pacific. Winners will stay in an ocean view suite, play a round of golf or two at the links, and have dinner at Catalina Kitchen. You can unwind at Terranea's award-winning spa and wellness center, lounge by one of their four ocean view pools, or even dine at one of their 8 distinctive on-site restaurants. Go to Terranea.com to learn more. That's Terranea.com. And visit KFI AM 640, our Instagram page, and there you can find out the information, how you can enter to win a stay at this luxury resort that's right here at home and feels like a million miles away. And earlier in the week, I went around the room asking, hey, have you started? Have you thought about it? Have you finally decided what you're going to do with your New Year's Eve? And we got a, you know, any number of answers, but people generally did not know. I know that Eric was hoping on the house party. I know Twala and I, we're just going to be at the house, maybe partying at the house by ourselves, watching TV. Mark Ronner, I have no idea because he shares nothing about his personal life whatsoever.
I'll be here.
When do you get off New Year's Eve?
Right around midnight. I'll be right here.
Oh, you're going all the way through?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I've done that.
Wow.
Yeah. You are a radio professional. If you've not worked like an overnight or a holiday through the night, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I am a true special operator.
Yeah. Well, my condolences. But one time I worked the Tim Conway Jr. show, which means I got off at 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve, and I just went down the street, not down the street, but other side of town to Jerry's Deli when it was still there in Studio City and just hung out with friends for like an hour and a half. And then I came back to the office after midnight and then slept in my office and did the Gary and Shannon show, you know, at 10 a.m.
I think it's really touching of you to offer to come here with drinks for midnight on New Year's Eve for me because you want me not to be alone. I really appreciate that.
Well, what I'll do is I'll do some Uber Eats or DoorDash and send some drinks to you.
Oh, well, I like that. That was really easy. You really leached the sport right out of that. I'll take that.
Okay, but I'm not going to be here at midnight.
No, I'll take
that.
Food and drinks in place of you is entirely acceptable.
You don't need the company.
Yeah.
Real quickly. All right, Eric, have you decided yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing sushi dinner with some friends, and then we're going back to their place for drinks, games, maybe watch the ball drop. Who knows?
All right.
But drinking most likely will definitely be happening.
And you said you don't have a girlfriend at this moment.
No, I'm single.
Mm-hmm. And ready to
mingle.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're Jewish.
Oh, such a hater.
Well,
such
no. Hater. Practice makes perfect. So
okay. Oh, but that just opens the door for me. So if you see a hot non-Jewish girl, I think the lingo, correct me if I'm wrong. Goy?
Yeah, very good.
Okay. If you find a hot goy out there, what happens?
Like I said, practice makes perfect.
So you won't even entertain her?
No, I'll entertain her. He's saying
he has to practice to become perfect.
Exactly.
It does not matter when you're practicing.
I wouldn't date a non-Jewish girl, but...
Well, define date. A date is like...
An exclusive relationship.
Oh, but for 8 hours is cool.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm going to have at it.
Okay. I just want to be clear. Now, what is your selection process... Beyond, you find someone, you're not exactly sure whether she's Jewish or not, and you can find out probably within 10 words or so. You'll find out.
Maybe a little more than 10.
Okay, but very early on in the conversation.
I wouldn't say early on. If I'm first meeting them for the first time, I'm probably not going to ask them directly.
No, but they'll see your necklace, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, that, yes.
Right.
Because yes, I do wear it outside of my shirt most
of
the time.
So... How does it come up? How does that negotiation go if you think that there's potential there?
That's a good question.
That's my job, to ask good questions.
It depends on the situation.
Well, we're talking about New Year's Eve, and her ass looks fantastic.
Oh, then it's full go.
Okay. All right. I just want to be sure.
It doesn't even need to be New Year's Eve.
Okay. What I'm saying, New Year's Eve at least opens up the possibilities.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Or at least when I was younger. I can't speak to today.
Well, midnight kiss is still very much a tradition for people.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Tawala, is there a midnight kiss tradition possibly in your future?
There used to be. There used to be. No, seriously, I've become a lot more reserved as I've gotten older, and I've learned the dangers of a midnight kiss and or more. I used to try to ring in the new year with some new.
What's the most unusual place where you rang in some new?
Oh, the cars. It's typically cars.
Cars?
Yeah, because okay. It's like, because you're out and about, and it's like you don't want to leave the festivities necessarily,
mm-hmm.
So you, like, step outside.
But you want a little bit of privacy.
Yes, you want a little bit of privacy, so it's like, well, I'm just parked.
Is it, like, right front seat or back seat?
Oh, it's back seat.
Okay, that's
back
different.
Seat was tinted.
Can I have some clarification, please, Tawala?
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Do you try to time things for exactly the stroke of midnight? How does this work exactly?
He said stroke.
I choose my words carefully.
It would be right after the ball drop.
Hello.
He said ball. Where's our rim shot, Eric? Come on. Those were two. That's two.
Two, good
two great
ones.
Jokes.
Oh, man.
No, I'll wait. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Slow on the draw. But I do say this. There used to be a time where the stroke of midnight ball drop was very important to get in. Hopefully, you've navigated and maneuvered that whole evening yep. to set up that moment. If you're smart.
Oh, yeah.
If you're smart, be it who you invite to the party, be it the party that you go to where you know that special so-and-so or special for the moment so-and-so mm-hmm. is there. Or you're like me, and I want to get in so much trouble for telling this story. Remember how early in the week we were talking about how 92.3, the beat, had that party bus?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The party bus went down to San Diego. I can't remember what year it was. But I had a friend, and we're going to tie all these stories together. Remember how we were talking about
yep.
how we would fly someone in or out?
Uh-huh.
I had flown someone in from Atlanta, and this was like a quasi music industry thing, because I was working at Warner Brothers Records at the time. And let's just say Warner Brothers helped fund it. Flew her in. We got on the party bus to go to San Diego. It was in San Diego. And we got there around 9 o'clock. I was in a suit. She was in like almost like a gown. And we went to a hotel. I don't know what the hotel was. Maybe we can look it up. You can tell me what it was if you can find it. But that's neither here nor there. We started dancing. One thing led to another. And somehow, some way, this is a true story, and I'm not going to use any names. We ended up in a woman's bathroom in a stall as the clock struck midnight. We left the bathroom at 12:30. That was a good night / morning, and we didn't get back to LA until about like 4 a.m. Those days are gone, but I have to live vicariously through other people.
Yeah.
So I'm pulling for Eric. I want him to have a similar story.
I'm pulling for me too.
Yeah. We're all pulling for you, Eric. We're all pulling
now,
for
I don't
you.
Know if Mark is pulling for Eric.
Yo, could you just text us all if something happens?
Oh, yeah, sure.
No photos, though. Just text.
Yeah, we don't want a photos. Just No. If you send a photo of who, but nothing compromising in nature.
No, of course not.
Really, honestly, nothing of you. That perfectly
fine. You make it sound really weird, though, Mark. I just, I would like to know if he closed a deal or not.
Me too, but I just want lines drawn. That's all.
I appreciate you drawing the line, Mark.
I don't think he was going to send you anything of him.
Thank you.
What did you expect, a D-pic?
Well, you just want to make sure that everybody knows what the limitations are going in, so to speak.
You're saying Eric didn't know what not to send you at 12:30 as he left the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, we've all known each other for a while now. Who knows how comfortable he feels with all of us? And I just want to slam the brakes on anything that is going to make me, nauseous.
All right, you go, Goy. This is the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. Where is my rim shot? We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And Eric, I think you would appreciate what I'm getting ready to talk about because you, like me, we are diehard Rams fans. And if you're not paying attention, you may not know what the Rams owner, Stan Kroenke, is up to. But if you're a Rams fan, you know it and you like it. Now, Stan Kroenke, he owns a lot of real estate, and that was how he amassed his fortune. And if you remember how SoFi Stadium came to be and the steps leading up to it, what I'm about to tell you should give you a good indication of what he plans to do next. The French mall developer, the Unibail Rodamco Westfield, has sold the Village, which is an outdoor lifestyle shopping center in Canoga Park, which is really neither here nor there because it's not going to be an outdoor shopping center much longer. But it was sold to Stan Kroenke for $325 million. And this is consequential for a number of reasons. The Village deal was announced back on Tuesday, and it's the nation's second largest shopping center transaction this year. It was second only to the August sale of URW Santa Anita Mall, which sold for nearly $538 million to a different investor. But this particular property was built in 2015 and is 600,000 square feet in nature. And it's located right next to a 34-acre promenade development site, which URW recently sold to a private investment group that includes Stan Kroenke for $150 million. The short answer is Stan Kroenke is buying a lot of land in a small area right next to each other so he can control all of it. And also, the Rams owner recently acquired a 13-story building in Warner Center, formerly occupied by health insurer Anthem Incorporated, and its adjacent 30 acres of land for $175 million. The astounding numbers aside, if you go back to 2017, and let me see if Eric has picked up on this, just before the Super Bowl between the Seattle Seahawks and Denver Broncos, Stan Kroenke announced his purchase of 60 acres in Inglewood for about $100 million. That land was next to the Forum and wasn't big enough for a stadium and parking lot, but it proved to be the gateway to the Hollywood Park site. And that led to SoFi Stadium. It seems like Stan Kroenke, if you are reading the tea leaves, is getting ready to consolidate all the Rams operations and practice facility, whatnot, into one location in that area. He doesn't need another shopping mall. Who in their right mind would buy a shopping mall in 2023? Thinking that it's going to generate revenue.
A lot of that shopping mall is currently shut down. I recently went over there with the kids because they have in part of the parking lot, they have an ice skating rink that they built over there. And so you pass by, and I remember looking at the kid or talking to the kid and saying, look at this mall. This is an entire mall that's closed. There's no shops there. It's just a gigantic empty space where all the shops have closed. Some have moved down to the outdoor plaza down the way. And then there's some at the Westfield Shopping Mall, but this humongous mall used to have a movie theater, just goo gobs of stores, gone.
Eric?
So the mall that you're talking about, Tawala, the AMC Promenade, yes, is completely vacant.
Yes.
The movie theater has now moved to the new Westfield Topanga Mall, which is across the street from the Village, which is what Stan Kroenke just purchased. My mom actually works in the Village. She's a manager of a clothing store in there, a women's boutique store. But I believe the Westfield Topanga Mall and the Village, I believe they're going to stay intact and be a part of this shopping center entertainment plaza that Stan Kroenke is going to include next to the Rams headquarters and practice facility.
Yes. Right. Yes. It's good. Yes. In the way that there's an entertainment shopping aspect to SoFi.
Have you guys seen the Hard Knocks drone video from the Dallas Cowboys of what Jerry Jones
has built?
Let's
just say no, because that's too long. I mean, you can explain it that long. No.
Either way. So there's a drone video in Hard Knocks from when the Cowboys were on Hard Knocks, I believe within the last 2 years, where in Frisco, Texas, where the Dallas Cowboys headquarters and practice facility is, it's an incredible drone video, about 3 minutes long, and it's a entertainment complex. It's got the practice facility, which hosts high school football championship games. It's got like 10 to 12,000 seats in it, I believe, maybe even more than that. It's incredible, and I believe that's exactly what Stan Kroenke is going to try and do in Woodland Hills and Warner Center with this new headquarters for the Rams.
Let me jump in there. Have you been to Orlando, Florida, and seen the ESPN complex?
No, I have not.
Okay, the ESPN complex, they have softball fields and all these basketball courts.
It's where the bubble was.
Correct. Correct. And so it was part entertainment complex, part sports complex, and it would make sense if you were to have a team there year-round. I mean, you would, of course, make it fit a football team.
Well, I mean, if we're talking currently right now, the Rams and Chargers both do not even practice and have their headquarters in Los Angeles. The Rams are
Oxnard?
The Rams are in, I believe, Irvine. The Cowboys do their training camp in Oxnard.
Oxnard, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then, or no, actually, the Rams, I think, do their practice at Kowloon in Thousand Oaks, but they would do sometimes training camp in Irvine. And then the Chargers are in Costa Mesa.
And this is why you buy all that property.
And right. The Chargers are going to be moving to El Segundo in 2024.
That's interesting. So the Chargers are moving to El Segundo, at least their offices and year-round training facility. And the Rams would be out, presumably, if this is correct, we're reading the tea leaves correctly, out in Warner Center.
Yeah, in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
When most of their team, because I believe their practices are in Thousand Oaks at Kowloon.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Everybody lives out there currently and then commutes to SoFi for games.
Now,
shorter commute for them.
And I would say adjacent to this is the new Clippers facility.
Yes.
And
it's right across the street from SoFi.
Right. And I was driving next to it. It's like, it looks like it's going to be pretty hot.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah. When I was at the Rams game a few weeks ago, I saw the Clipper Stadium, and I've been to a couple Rams games this year, and each time I've been to SoFi, I've seen the progress that they've made on the stadium, and it does look like it's going to be pretty cool.
It's going up rather fast, or maybe because SoFi took relatively longer football stadium versus a basketball arena.
Yeah.
And this is not really sports talk. This is about economic redevelopment and evolution of the Southern California landscape over a small amount of time. Going back to SoFi Stadium, which was 2017, I think they broke ground on it.
They broke ground a year late, I believe. They pushed it all back.
Yeah. And it was cost overruns, and it was finished later than expected. But since SoFi began, you have the Clippers Stadium. I think the Bank of California Stadium was completed during that time, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it was completed before.
Before, but
yeah.
But not much before.
No, within a couple of years.
Right. So you have this tremendous development within a 20-mile square mile radius, and you have these tremendous arenas, stadiums going up, and the businesses which are attached to them as well. One of the greatest parts of the revitalization of downtown Los Angeles was Staples Center. No, not crypto.com, but Staples Center, and how that changed with LA Live and everything which went on with downtown. And you can see these other stadiums and arenas using that. It's not just the stadium anymore. It's about the hotels, the entertainment complex,
the living complex, everything.
Yes, yes, the condominiums around them.
The redevelopment of California around a sports team is something that we have been lacking forever and a day. I remember going back to Mayor Villagrosa, who was like, I need to bring a team back to L.A. because we are the only major, major city, number two city in the entire country, and we don't have a football team. We don't have anything here. We've got to change that. It can't be LA without a major sports franchise here. And now we've got it.
Well, what changed was Stan Kroenke built SoFi Stadium out of his own pocket.
Yes, he did.
Taxpayer money did not go towards
public funded.
It. The Clippers Stadium, Steve Ballmer paid for that out of his own pocket. Taxpayer money did not go towards that.
Yeah.
So that's ultimately, I think, what helped and expedited the process. And not to mention, with Los Angeles getting the Olympics in 2028, the next World Cup in 2026, with the U.S. being a part of it, SoFi Stadium is in competition to host the championship game for the World Cup. All of these events need sites to have games at.
Don't we get a regional for the NCAA?
I believe so. WrestleMania is also coming up in April.
No, I mean, there's the reason that it was held off is because the city would not pay for the renovations for the Coliseum.
Yep.
Like, that's what held it up. And that's what kept us from getting a team. They tried to go to Pasadena, and Pasadena was like, nope, we are not having it at the Rose Bowl. Again, because taxpayers weren't going to fund it. So, you know, to your point, Eric, if not for these visionaries coming and saying, it's ridiculous. How come LA does not have a major sports franchise? All you can do is win by bringing one. I'll put my own money into it. And now look, now it's expanding across Southern California.
LA landscape has changed tremendously thanks to sports redevelopment of all of Southern California. And if you want to complain about things which are not right in LA, also acknowledge the things which are actually for the benefit. When I say LA, I'm talking about all of Southern California, because the jobs and the economic prosperity which has come out of these new stadiums and arenas and teams coming to LA is enjoyed by all. This is the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. I'm Mo Kelly in for John and Ken. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Southern California home prices, the reason why we were talking about that last segment, because it kind of ties into this segment. Southern California home prices fell for a sixth straight month in November. That's good news, bad news. Depends on if you're looking to sell your home, that's probably bad news. But, you know, there may be good news long term if you're trying to buy a home. The median price of a Southern California home, or the price at the midpoint of all sales, dropped to $690,000 in November. And of course, you can point to rising interest rates, and not to go all economics class, but part of the reason why the Fed raised interest rates was to slow inflation. And as a byproduct of that, it makes it more expensive to borrow money, which makes it less likely for people to be able to sell their houses at the higher amount before, because it costs more to borrow money. So housing prices are falling, and we want to somehow bring down the cost of living here in California. This was one of the ways it can be done. And while home prices increased on an annual basis up until now, last month's 1.5% year-over-year gain was the smallest in 3 years. And if you want to extract a larger result from all of this, you can argue that maybe inflation is slowing at this point if you look at the housing market here in California. By comparison, the annual gains in the region averaged 11% for the past 2 years. Last month, 1.5%, averaged 11% for the past 2 years. Southern California home sales meanwhile fell to 13,000 transactions in November. That's the smallest sales tally for a November and 13th smallest for any month in 35 years. That doesn't mean that the housing market is going to go into the trash, but it does mean that it is going to cool off. And I had a few neighbors in my housing development who were just, I would say, lucky enough to be able to sell their houses in the past month and get out, because there probably was not going to be a way in which they could sell them, because they had recently purchased. They were not going to be able to sell them for anything more than what they purchased them. They wouldn't be able to turn a profit or anything like that.
Three houses in my neighborhood recently sold within the last, I'd say, year. The first, right on time, $1.5 million. House literally right next door to where we live.
Where the hell do you live? I want to live in your neighborhood.
Altadena.
Hey, that's true. Those are older houses, correct?
Older houses, yes. $1.5 million. Fast forward to within the last 2-3 months, house around the corner, $9 million. house right across the street, eight something, like 875. So you go 1.5 down to like 945 to 840 something.
I don't want to get too deep in real estate. Are they comps? In other words, are they comparable size?
All the houses in this neighborhood are pretty much the exact same size.
Okay.
It's one of those neighborhoods where all the houses were built similarly. Well, they all have, you know, the same square footage, you know, the yards are pretty much the same. It's like just like when you look at older houses in Altadena, Pasadena, a lot of them have that same build style. So, yeah. So it's you can look at how the market is declining. And yes, you know, the house across the street, there may have been a little more work need to put into it. But
yeah, but you're talking about like a $600,000 difference.
That's a lot, right?
Yes. I mean, that's cool if you are looking to buy in the next few months. I mean, interest rates aside, if you are cash heavy,
yeah,
you know, if you can say, okay, look, I want to buy this house cash, and some people do, this might be the time in which you may be more inclined to do so. If you don't have to borrow as much and not are, you know, unaffected, if you're unaffected by the interest rate increase, then bully for you. But if you are in a position where, look, I put my house on the market last month and it hasn't sold, it might be a little bit more difficult to sell, or depending on how much equity you had 3 months ago as opposed to now. Hmm. You know, because to your point, Tuala, let's say the house was appraised at maybe $1.5 million 3 months ago. It's probably not that now.
Let's say it's definitely not.
Let's say it's 1.2 now, and there are also fewer buyers. You know, let's say 3 years ago, you might have had six or seven people with those zero interest rates. I mean, basically zero. It was like in the twos. You'd have six or seven people offering, making bids on houses. So you're not going to have that now.
Oh, no. No. Not especially when you see all these stories that are out there now for some reason, talking about how people are leaving California. That's also not helping the housing market.
The State Realtor Association reported that the sales of existing houses fell 47.7% from November 2021 in California, and the National Association of Realtors reported a 35.4% sales drop nationwide from the previous year. So all of the economic indicators and statistics are telling us that the housing market has cooled off. Good news, bad news. If you're in real estate, that's probably not good news for you. But if you're just talking about the cost of living in California, that's a good thing. Now, I don't know how or if at all it will impact rent here in California. Because basically, if you have the money to buy a house, I would say most definitely do it. Because what's the point of spending more than $2,500 a month on rent and never getting to a point where you can enjoy at least the tax benefits of home ownership? Now, there's been a fundamental shift. I remember 25, 30 years ago, people were dead set on home ownership and wouldn't even consider renting long term. But now that's kind of flipped, where because of the cost of living, because the cost of entry into the housing market is so high, because you don't have the junk loans that the subprime loans that you could use back in 2006 and 2007. And I know you remember this, Tuala, because you were little Donald Trump back then, real estate magnate.
I was trying.
But you could finance these houses 1% down, 2% down, and all these ARMs and these funky type loans that aren't available anymore. You got to come with most likely 20% down or have an FHA loan, and it's very difficult to do that now. So I understand why people say, no, F it, I'll just rent forever.
At one point, me and my partner across Southern California, due to, you know, all that trickery happening with the loans, we had 9 properties.
I said little Donald Trump.
9. Okay. And when that market flipped and those subprime loans went belly up and Bank of America called and said, wait, you got this loan for what?
Right.
Oh, no. You owe us. It was all bad. all bad.
It was the wild, wild west back then.
It was.
It really was.
We were crazy.
And the overcorrection, which makes sure that never happens again, you're not going to be able to get a house for the most part with 1% down. You're going to have to have property or just be cash flush to buy a house these days.
Yeah.
And in California, that's not feasible for most people. But this is at least pushing it back in the other direction where it's at least a little bit more possible. And tying this to the last segment, get it while you can, because with the explosion of these properties. Oh, like perfect example. My wife and I, real quick, bought our house that we live in now in 2019. That was about maybe, and Eric, you'll appreciate this. That was about maybe 6 months or so before SoFi opened up. Immediately after that, just about every condo within a 5 mile radius was starting at $1 million+. The new stadiums and arenas, they bring a lot of jobs and they bring a lot of business, but also you have to time it just right or you're not going to be able to buy anywhere around there. So this might be the time to get some property out by Warner Center, like right now, if you see where all this is headed. Get it in Warner Center, and if you can, somewhere near Inglewood. Inglewood is still decent, because with the addition of the new Clippers Arena, Inglewood is going to be like Westwood in about 4 or 5 years. No exaggeration. This is the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.